Glory to God. Thanks be to God. We've been on a series for a few weeks now that we're calling All Kinds of Prayer. And what we've been camping on is praying in the Spirit, which is key to praying with all kinds of prayer. In Ephesians 6 and 10, he had begun by talking about being strong in the Lord, and then he went on to talk about the armor of God. And when he got through talking about that and standing against the wiles of the devil, and isn't that what you're doing when you're not worrying? You're resisting it, right? If you just gave into it, it wouldn't be hard to worry. You just, all you got to do is nothing. Just go with the flow of the upset world. But you have to resist it, don't you? You have to keep saying no. No, I'm not. I'm not sitting here thinking about that. And I'm not going to worry about that. I'm not going to yield to this, whatever it is of the enemy. But then he leads this up to verse 18 about praying. That this is... And of course, Philippians talks about this. Be careful for nothing. In other words, Amplified says, do not fret. Don't have any anxiety about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Then he goes on to talk about the peace that passes understanding will keep your heart and your mind through the Lord. This is what we do instead of worry. Pray. That was a little weak. That was actually very weak. I said, this is what we do instead of worry.
That's right.
What do we do?
Pray.
What do you do?
Pray.
I want to hear you say it out loud. I don't worry.
I don't worry.
I pray.
I pray.
I pray.
I pray.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
I pray.
I pray.
And that's what he's saying there in Philippians. That's what we do instead of worry. Now, involved in this is getting answers. A lot of times what you're worrying about is what you don't know. You don't know. You don't understand. And the thing is, we don't just have to remain in the dark. Somebody inside us, the Holy Spirit, already knows the answer to all these things. And Jesus said, He will show you. He kept saying that. He will take of mine and show it to you. He will remind all the things I've said to you. He'll bring to your remembrance. He will even show you. You keep hearing that phrase, show you. He will show you things to come. Well, when he shows you what's going on, when he shows you the answer in what to do, even shows you how it's going to turn out, now you have beat worry. What is there to worry about? You got the answer. So he said, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And so we've been talking about what does it mean to pray in the Spirit. How do you do that? What is it that you're doing? And we got a big answer in 1 Corinthians 14. Go there again if you would. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 14. 1 Corinthians 14:14, he said, if I pray in a tongue, unknown is added by the translators, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. He talks more about this in this passage, but what you can see is that praying in the Spirit is not praying with the understanding.
Amen.
And that tells you volumes about it. It is heart praying, not head praying. Not feeling praying, not flesh praying, not just praying based on what you're seeing or hearing. It's praying out of your inner man. It's your spirit praying with the help and assistance of the Holy Spirit. But that is not from your understanding, and it is also beyond your understanding. Is this wonderful or is this wonderful? Verse 2, and one of the ways you do this is by speaking in a language you don't know. How can you do that? Now, there's a lot of church-going people. They have major problems with this. They just say, oh, no, I'm not into all that. Whew, speaking with tongues. They think that's a cult. Yeah. Have you read the Bible?
Amen.
Huh? How did the entire church get kicked off? Talking in tongues.
Right.
Yeah. And if you hadn't realized it, all of these letters that he's writing to, the saints at Colossae, tongue talkers. Saints at Ephesus, tongue talkers. Saints at Corinth, that's what we're reading about right now, definitely tongue talkers.
Amen.
Huh? Galatians, tongue talkers.
Amen.
All of them. Right? So when did God change?
He did.
Men changed. Men got religious. Men got carnal. Somebody decided, well, that's all passed away. Well, no. No. We still need to be able to pray beyond our limited understanding. Oh, yeah, you do. And the issue is faith. If you don't believe it, if you don't believe in it, and you won't yield to it, you won't have it. But every believer can and should speak in other tongues. It's just ask the Father and yield and speak by faith. It's as easy as that. And the more you do it, the better you flow, the better you yield. Now, if you think it's strange and you're scared of it, well, you will not be bothered with it. But it still belongs to you. And you still need it. Oh, you need it. Huh? Oh, yeah. How long does it take you to run out praying with your understanding? Oh, Lord, we need this and I want this. So then you say it again. Oh, Lord, we need this. And we want this. And oh, Lord, it's been 6 minutes. And your heart's telling you, we need to pray better than this. We need to get out beyond. We need to get hooked up with the Holy Ghost and go. How can you do that? You got to go beyond your mind. And that takes faith. And that takes utterance. And that's praying in the Spirit. Now, also, prophecy is speaking and praying with the Spirit. Now, when people hear that word, they only think of the prophet's ministry. And they only think of foretelling, prophesying, or predicting.
Right.
And that's a very limited, narrow idea of it. No, here in this same chapter, he said, you may all prophesy. One by one. Is he saying everybody can be a prophet? No. And basic prophecy has no prediction in it. It's speaking unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. That's in this chapter right here. It's just encouraging, but it's utterance in your known tongue that's also not coming out of your head, it's coming out of your heart.
Amen.
Did Jesus pray in the Spirit?
Yes.
Yes,
with the Spirit?
Yes.
Did he speak in tongues?
Yes.
Nope. No indication, no reason to think that he did. That happened on the day of Pentecost. So how did he pray in the Spirit? By prophecy. By the Spirit of prophecy. He's praying in the Spirit, he's praying inspired utterance in his known tongue. Y'all okay? And that's what Revelation said, that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Somebody can be anointed to testify. Right? In their known tongue.
Amen. Right.
Now somebody can get up and, you know, and say, you know, y'all pray for me. The devil's after me. And I just don't know if I'm going to make it. Now, there's no anointing on that. But if you can begin to say, oh, I want to tell you what the Lord has meant to us and done for us and how he delivered us and brought us out of that. And then they start sharing and it's not coming out of their head. It's not something that they plan. And you can sense an anointing on it. That is simple prophecy. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
No prediction. But does it encourage?
Yes.
Does it comfort?
Yes.
Does it strengthen and build up?
Yes.
Well, see, that's the definition of prophecy in this chapter. So you can pray in and with the Spirit in a language you know by prophecy, or in a language you don't know with, we call it other tongues. Are y'all okay?
Yes.
but both of them are praying in the Spirit with the Spirit. Now in Matthew 7, if you would go there. Matthew 7 and verse 7. Now we spent a whole series a while back. We called Teach Us to Pray. And that was in the previous chapter here, the 6th chapter. And that included what we call the Lord's Prayer, Our Father which art in heaven. And that led up to this. This wasn't written in chapter and verse. But the Lord's Prayer, and he started out by saying how not to pray. Don't pray to be seen of men. Don't pray vain, empty repetitions. Just the same thing over and over again. He told us how to pray, Our Father which art in heaven, what people call the Lord's Prayer, that is not something you're supposed to pray over and over and over again, rotely. He had just got through saying the previous couple of verses, don't do that.
Right. Uh-huh.
So what's he talking about here? These are main focuses of your prayer. You could take any one of these phrases, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name, and then you could just worship God for an hour. You understand what I'm saying? That's a focus. Then what comes next? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You could pray an hour about that. Right? About God's will being done. About his kingdom. And about what he's doing in Asia with the kingdom and building the church. What he's doing in Russia. What he's doing in South America. I mean, how can you pray? Remember our text, praying for all saints? Well, there's no way you can do that with your head. But you can pray with your understanding. And then you can say, Holy Spirit, help me to pray further about this. And you can pray in other tongues. And then you may get to praying like that for a while. And then you get to saying in your own language, English, Spanish, whatever is your tongue. You begin to pray what you were saying in tongues. But it's not coming out of your head. It's coming out of your heart. You're still praying in the Spirit. But you're praying with your own understanding now. No, I shouldn't say that. You're praying with the language you know, not your understanding. It's still coming out of your spirit, but it's in a language you know. But that's prophecy. Okay? So here's what he said after talking about prayer and giving us what we call the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 7 and 7. Ask. Ask, and what'll happen? He didn't say he'd put it on file. Think about it. Huh? These are some of the main things we do in prayer. A lot of prayer is vain. It does no good. It accomplishes nothing. It changes nothing. And that's why a lot of times people quit. But it's simply because people didn't go to the Word and they didn't listen to what the Lord told us to do about praying. He said, ask.
Yes.
And whether you're praying with your understanding, which is fine to do. And also praying with the Spirit, which is you have to do to pray beyond. We're supposed to be asking, seeking, and knocking. That's what you're doing in prayer, regardless of what kind of prayer you're praying, whether it's a prayer of petition, prayer of agreement, prayer of intercession, supplication, giving of thanks. It involves these things right here: asking, seeking, and knocking. And the Lord has, He requires this of us. It's like we were talking about faith earlier. This is not optional. And one of the biggest, the most damaging lies that has crippled huge portions of the church is that God is in control and nothing happens unless it's His will and plan. Well, then why do I need to pray and ask and seek and knock? If God's going to do what He's going to do, no matter what I do, why do I need to do anything? You see what I'm saying? And why would the Lord say this? Ask. Why? You're going to do what you're going to do anyway. If I ask something and it's the will of God, well, He was going to do His will anyway. If I ask something and it was not His will, well, He wasn't going to do it anyway because it wasn't His will. So why do I ask? And this, whether people verbalize it or not, this is why millions of Christians don't pray. They just don't. Now, if they get in a real bad jam, yeah, they'll cry out to the Lord. But as far as spending any time with God, communing with Him, praying, they don't. Thank you, Lord. The devil has convinced them. It doesn't matter. It won't make any difference. It won't do any good. That's a lie. I said that's a lie. If Jesus said ask, and what did He say would happen? Well, what if you don't ask? It'll be given anyway? Then why bother? No, lies. Did you hear what I'm saying? One of the most devastating lies is perpetuated from pulpits. And it sounds so right. God is in control. The implication is He is controlling everything and everybody, and nothing's happening except His will. Even if it's awful and terrible, somehow it was His mysterious will. We just don't understand. Well, if He really is controlling everything and He's not going to allow anything or do anything unless it is His will, there's no point in you and I trying to do anything to change it or affect it. And that's exactly what the devil wanted you to believe, so that you wouldn't pray, you wouldn't interfere with Him. Huh? You wouldn't ask, you wouldn't seek, you wouldn't get any answers, you wouldn't do anything. And the devil just gets to, he's able to just run free course. Steal, kill, and destroy, and do all kind of horrible things, and people turn around and blame God for it all. That irks me. Huh? My father, your father, is the most wonderful father there's ever been. He's good. He's perfectly fair. He's just. And I don't like people slandering Him, accusing Him of these evil, evil, cruel stuff in the earth. There is a devil. There is a devil, an adversary. Jesus said the thief doesn't come unless he's coming to steal, kill, destroy. Is God the thief? Is the Father? No. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life. Hallelujah. That you might have it more abundantly. The Amplified says that you might have and enjoy life and have it to the full until it overflows. Does that sound like God? Does that sound like God? And yet He also said, ask me.
Yes.
Seek me. Come and knock on it. He goes on to say, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek. Now the Greek word for seek means just what we think. And one definition said it like this: seek in order to find. A lot of people don't ask because they don't think it'll be given anyway. A lot of people don't seek because they don't even believe it's there. And a lot of folks don't seek because maybe it's there, but they don't think they can find it. It takes faith to believe the answer is there. Huh? And what else? I can find it. And I, with the Lord's help, I will find it. I will get the answer. Huh? And when you get the answer, it knocks worry down. Instead of worrying about what you didn't know, now you know. But you found it because you sought for it and asked for it. And this is prayer. And praying in the Spirit is what you're doing. Maybe you're praying in other tongues. And while you're praying in other tongues, your mind is doing this. And it'll interrupt you if you let it and say, hey. Hey. And if you're not smart, you'll go, what? You say, hey, I saw some fried chicken in the refrigerator. Well, I go, hey, are we going to get to go do that thing? Hey, I think my program's going to come on here pretty. Hey, you. So what do? You focus your mind. Even though you don't know everything that you're saying when you're praying out of your spirit, your understanding's unfruitful. It doesn't mean your mind's supposed to be unfocused.
Right.
What do you do with your mind? I'm looking for something. Oh, did anybody hear that?
Yes.
I'm looking for something. I may not know, I won't know all the details, but you'll get a sense a lot of times, I'm praying in this area. I'm praying about this general. It might be big and wide. So what am I doing? I'm looking. I'm seeking. You keep pulling your mind. If it wanders off on you, grab it, pull it back, and put it on this. I'm looking for something. I'm looking for an answer. Huh? I'm looking for the direction. I'm looking for the answer. And it applies to all kind of areas. I mean, maybe you're dealing with something in your body. Well, you know it's God's will for you to be healed. You know Jesus took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses and carried your pains, and by His stripes you're healed.
Yes.
You know He wants you healed.
Yes.
If you don't, you hadn't been listening to what He said. But how do I receive it? Well, God, what are you waiting on? He's already done it. You're not waiting on Him.
Yeah, that's right.
Huh? The issue is the receiving.
Right.
What do I need to do receiving? Like we talked last week, David, even though he had fought the Philistines so many times, every time's a new time. Is that right?
Yes.
Inquire of the Lord and see.
Yep.
And so you're saying, Lord, what do I need to do to this? Because there can be things going on that you don't realize. And He'll show you, you need to bind this. And you need to quit doing this. Huh? And you need to make a change here. Didn't Romans say, we know not what we should pray for as we ought? You might know generally speaking, but there's so many things you haven't known and understood. And that's why we pray, and we pray in the Spirit, and we seek. We're looking for that, believing we can find it. The answer. No matter what's going on, there's always a key issue. Always. And when you know that, you got it. Right? You know what to do. You know the change to make. You know the issue. Y'all okay? Ask and it'll be given to you. Seek in order to find, and you will find. Tell me who said this. Come on, tell me who said this. Jesus, the head of the church. Knock and what? It shall be open to you. Then he reiterated. He said, for everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be open to you. And isn't that what he said in Hebrews 11:6? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God, what? It's not optional. Must believe that he is. You're not going to pray to a God you don't believe exists. But that's not the end of it, right? What else do you have to do? Must believe that he is. And you must believe what? Come on, help me out. He's what? Rewarder of everybody. Regardless of where they... No. Of those who... seek him. Actually, the word diligently is added there. But it's a good idea. You know, if you're going to do it, don't play around. And you do it, right? But you have to seek him. You have to look for it. You can't just be passive and say, well, you know, he knows what I need. He'll show me. So I'll just lay here on the couch and watch soap operas. Huh? No, you won't find it. You won't find it. Let me read some scriptures to you. Psalm 27. Go to the book of Psalms and we'll go through a few of these. Psalm 27:8. He said, the psalmist said, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, will I seek. Hallelujah. He went on to say, I had, verse 13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, this term, wait on the Lord, it doesn't mean passively lay there and do nothing. It doesn't. Look it up. Now, there's several words that are translated wait or wait upon or whatever. But the one we're talking about now, it means look for. Now, that's different, isn't it? Look for. What are you waiting to do? I'm looking for something. I'm spending time with him and taking time with him, waiting on the Lord. It's not just doing nothing. It's I'm looking for him. I'm looking to him. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Let me see. Where is that at? Please, yeah, thank you, Lord. Psalm 27 is the very word that I'm talking about. Psalm 27 and 13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait is the word for expect. Expect of the Lord. Be of good courage and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now listen to Young's literal. If we have that, put it up. Young's literal translation. He says, I had not believed to look on the goodness of Jehovah in the land of the living. Look unto Jehovah. That's how he translated instead of saying wait. Look. Looking for something. And he does strengthen your heart while you're doing what? Seeking. Seeking him. You're spending time looking for something, looking for the answer, looking for... Why are you looking? Because you know it's there. You know he knows. And you know he wants to show you. Right? And with his help, you know you can find it. I can get it. I can... Look unto Jehovah. Be strong and he does strengthen your heart. Yea, look unto Jehovah. Listen to Psalm 130 because it, instead of just a definition, it gives you a vivid example of what you're doing. Psalm 130 and verse 5. He said, I wait for the Lord. and this is King James, my soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. Hope is expectation. Verse 6, my soul waits for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there's mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. What does that mean? Well, they would have people that would stand guard, and their shift would be over, you know, after daylight. And so, you know, 2-3 o'clock goes by. What are they looking for? Daylight. Right? They're looking for the sun to rise. And it's kind of one of those things of watching a pot waiting for it to boil. You know, it's like, you know, the more you focus on it, and it seems like time slows down. But watching for the sun to rise. What happens when the sun rises? Light. Light. And then everything, you couldn't tell what that bush was or what that was. When the light shines on it, you can see it clearly. Right? And you, one thing you see is you kept wondering what that odd shape was over there. Is that a bear? What is that? No, it's just a stump. When the light shines on it, come on, can you see? There's nothing to be afraid of. It was the light that made all the difference. And what are you doing? I'm looking to the Lord like looking for the sun to come up. Is that right? I'm looking for him to come up and shine on my situation and enlighten my darkness and show me what's going on. Show me what I need to do, what I need to say, what I need to change. Yes. Seek and you will find. Somebody say, okay, okay. Seek and you will find. Seek and you will find. Proverbs 2. Let's see, am I done with that? Proverbs 2, look over there, please. No, thank you, Lord. I'm not through with Psalms. Trying to rush, but are you?
No.
Are you okay?
Yes.
Yeah, we got time.
That's right.
So I'm just going to take a little extra time then. So Psalm 34, you said to. Psalm 34. And verse 9. I mean, we don't even have a night service on Sunday, so, right? And if your head said, well, what about that fried chicken? Say, shut up. We'll deal with that later. Fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want. Everybody say, no want. To them that fear him, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But, help me out. They that what?
Seek
the Lord shall not want any good thing. What about those that never take the time to seek the Lord? You're going to experience some want. You're going to miss out on some things. You're going to let some things get past you because you're just not aware of it. They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Psalm 77 and 6. 77:6. He said, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart. And my spirit did what? Made diligent search. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? See, this is prayer, is what this is. This is prayer. This is communing with God. You got your mind on him. How many understand the Holy Spirit lives inside you? Is that right? And when you're laying there in the bed? And let me give you some advice. Anytime that you can't sleep, don't waste that time.
Pray.
Huh?
Yes.
Huh? Don't get back up and turn on the dumb TV. Y'all with me or not? Can't sleep? Fix that. Pray. Is that right? And not just mumble about something. What are we doing? Well, something comes to from your heart to your mind, well, you pray about that. And then the more you pray, that's how it works. One thing leads to another. Leads to another. Next thing you know, the Lord's brought something to your mind and you're going, oh yeah, that's it. That's what we need to be praying about right there. Right? And your heart is searching. Your heart is searching. That's what Proverbs says, that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord searching. Everybody say searching. Searching all the inward parts. King James says of the belly or the inside. But you know, Jesus said in King James, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. That's not your stomach. That's the core of your being. Say it again, searching, searching, searching. He said, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart and my spirit made diligent search. Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah, you don't have to turn there. They'll put it up. Jeremiah 29:11. The Lord said, I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. If you look at other translations, it talks about prosperity and success. That word peace, shalom, is also translated prosperity, safety, well-being, healing, health. Other places in the same King James Bible. He says, I've been thinking about you. Thinking about your healing, your prosperity. Huh? You fulfilling the plan, it going well with you. Give you a good future with no evil. Huh? No, zero evil. Then you will call upon me. Is that like so? And you will go and do what? Come on, help me out. You will go and do what? You will pray to me. Now, this is not separated. This wasn't even written in chapter and verse. He's talking about his amazing, glorious, good plan for your life. And all the good thoughts he has had about you and prearranged and made the good life he prearranged and made ready for you to live. Like Ephesians says. He said, you call on me and you'll go and pray to me and I'll hearken to you. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. Verse 13. And you'll do what? Huh? There's no need in seeking me? Because I'm going to take care of everything no matter what? No. No. This is required. This is essential. If we don't pray, we will miss things. I'm telling you, if we don't pray, we won't be aware of what's going on. We'll be in the dark. We'll find out after it's done and too late and have to ask for mercy to try to recover. Prayers get previews. Huh? Didn't he say literally the Holy Spirit will show you things to come? Prayers, now he's not going to show you the whole thing, but you'll get glimpses. Pieces and glimpses enough to go, I need to stay away from that today. Right? I need to sow that seed. Thank you, Lord, I forgot about that. Huh? I need to sow that seed now. Huh? And just one thing after another, there's 10,000 things throughout the week you will not know, you will not be aware of, if you don't pray. But if you will go to him and call on him and pray, oh come on, hallelujah. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's an enjoyable thing. It's a glorious thing. Just all through the week, Phyllis and I talk about this. All through the week, sometimes I'll just say it out loud. I don't care who's around. I'll go, thank you, Lord. Why? Because he showed me something that's going to help me avoid a problem. Hallelujah. He showed me something. And so many times it's an answer to what I prayed earlier in the day. I was praying about it. And, you know, I'm praying in the Spirit, so I don't know what all I'm saying. But then something else will come up and I go, oh, thank you, Lord. That just solves the whole deal. Right? That's Glory to God. But you will not know these things. You will not see these things. You will not get these things if you don't pray for you. You can't tell your wife, well, you pray for me. She can't do all your praying for you. Or vice versa. No, nobody can do all of that for you. The man says, well, that's what I've been doing. Yeah, and see how it's working out. You've been having some problems. Missing some things. Coming up short. The old saying, day late and a dollar short, right? I mean, something you should have known last week, something you should have done, something you should have had. And that's not God's fault. He told us, check in with me. Right?
Yes.
Check in with me. Come talk to me. Let's talk about this. Let me show you. That's why you start off the prayer after you say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. What comes next? What comes next? Your kingdom come. Your will be done. What? That's ahead of anything you think you need about you. Right? And once that's in place and you're seeking that first, all these things will be added to you, things that the world's just clamoring after and worrying about and fighting over. Where are you? Jeremiah 29. And verse 13, you'll do what? You will seek me and what?
Find.
And find me when you search for me. And you're not playing with it. Right? And you didn't jump up after 2 minutes and go find the chicken.
No.
Right? When you search for me with all your heart, you mean business,
right,
and you stay with it,
yes,
you'll find it.
Right.
You'll get it.
Yes.
So, well, I prayed and I didn't get it. Well, you ain't done. You're not done.
Right?
Right? Some things you keep praying about tomorrow,
yes,
and the next day. And you don't move and make a big decision until you get it.
Right.
Y'all okay?
Yeah.
Go to Proverbs, please. Proverbs, the second chapter. Proverbs 2. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Don't you like that? I was communing with my own heart on my bed and my spirit made diligent search, and I heard from God. Woo! I made contact. Woo! And I got, you know, everything that Phyllis and I have done in ministry and life in these last 40 years pursuing Him, that we have had success and we've had miracles, that's what's happened. We sought Him. We sought Him. And some things you didn't get clear on in a week or two or a month or two, but eventually you got it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You searched. You sought. You asked. You knocked. And then you found. Now, a lot of people are just doing whatever they think. And that's why there's so much failure and so much falling and so much, you know, coming short and things that just don't work. And it's not always convenient. Sometimes with deadlines and pressures, you're thinking, I got to make a choice. Well, you better wait. You better seek Him, huh?
Yes.
If you want it to work, every time, you got to hear from Him, every time. Proverbs 2, verse 1. He said, "My son, if you'll receive my words and hide my commandments with you so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart." Everybody say, apply your heart.
Apply your heart.
Does this sound like being lazy and doing nothing?
No.
It takes some effort to look, to search. Apply your heart to understanding. Yea, if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding. Is this passive? And yeah, I'd like some if we could get it.
No.
You know, the Bible talks about covet earnestly the best gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about doing things in the Spirit. What is that? Word of wisdom. Word of knowledge. discerning of spirits. You know why we don't have as much of that as we should? People don't care. They're like, okay. Mm-mm. Don't care. Not looking for it. Not hungry for it. Let me read this again. If you seek her as silver. Huh? How many people get stirred up and excited if they said, you know, just off the coast over here a little bit, in 50 foot of water, there's $3 billion in gold.
Yeah.
$3 billion in gold bullion and coin. We know it's there. Know it's there. But somebody think, you know, ride by in their boat and go, I don't see it. Let's go home.
No.
I tell you something, what we're talking about is worth more than gold. It's worth more than diamonds. It's worth more than any amount of money. Huh? Gold can't heal you. Huh? Diamonds can't save you. Is that right? What we're talking about is the wisdom of God. The knowledge of God. Discerning and knowing what's going on. Faith, gifts of healings, workings of miracles. When you and I talk about these things, we ought to go, oh, I want some of that. I want me some of that. Huh? I'm telling you, Faith Life Church, if all of us would get to going, oh God, we want it, we want it. We want it. We want some word of knowledge. We want some word of wisdom. We want it. We want it. Not this playing church stuff. We want the real, big, full measure. Working of miracles. Gifts of healing. We want it. We want it. We want it. As long as we're okay without it, you won't have it. You won't have it. But when you get hungry, and of course you got to believe you can have it. You got to believe you can find it. You can get to it. So whether it's in our personal life or the church or the entire body of Christ, principle's the same. What did he say? If you will seek her like silver. If you will search for her. Somebody say search for it. Search for it as for hid treasures. Then you will go home disappointed. Then you will understand the reverence and fear of the Lord, and you will find the knowledge of God. Huh? So that's one of our prayers from Colossians, that you'd be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. It's possible to just be full of the knowledge of God. Who He is, what He is, what's going on, how things got this way, where it's headed, my part in the middle of this thing. We can know a lot more than we have known. We can understand a lot more than what we've understood. But what must we do? We got to ask, and we got to seek, and we got to search. And we got to knock. Come on, you seeing this? And that's prayer. And in order to do it effectively, you got to do it beyond your mind. And that's in the Spirit. And with the Spirit, whether it's with another tongue or your own tongue, but by prophecy. So keep reading. If you seek her as silver, if you search for her as hid treasures, then you'll understand. And you'll find the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom. Out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Proverbs 28:5. I'm closing, but Proverbs 28:5 says, evil men don't understand judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. The Bible said we have an unction of the Holy One, and you know all things. There is so much we could understand and know if we would turn off the social media and the TV and the junk. Come on, y'all, listen to me. So much of this stuff is designed to occupy your mind and keep it somewhere else other than the things of God. until you're so tired of doing, you know, endless searches and all this other stuff that you just, you stayed up too late and you fell asleep now. And you, every day when we get up, we have a limited amount of energy, mental, spiritual, physical. And if you waste it on something else, you won't have it to spend seeking God. And that's what the devil is doing every day, trying to get you to waste it on all of this so that you don't have any time. And the thing is, we should put seeking God first, right? We should put that first. Give Him our best when we're the freshest. I said, when we're the freshest, the strongest, the brightest, give that to Him and find what He, that we'd be better able to receive what He's showing us. And then we would know things that other people just have no clue about. Seek the Lord and understand all things. Lamentations 3 says, verse 22, it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. That's where we get the song from. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore will I hope or expect in Him. The Lord is good to them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeks Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. God is just saying, come here, spend some time with me. Come here, spend some things I want to talk to you about. I want to show you some things. And you have to do it long enough to get your mind quiet and focused on Him. And yet, you're searching. You're looking. You're looking for that answer. You're looking for every time before I speak. That's what I'm doing. You know? Somebody said, well, you just need to preach the Word. It's a big book. It's a big book. Which one's which part? And so I'm believing I can find it. And so I start off by asking, Lord, I ask You for the utterance and for the anointing for Sunday morning. I pray about You getting here safely and You being prepared and You getting home safely and all that. And then I say, Lord, I'm asking for revelation, for the anointing, for the direction, for the answers. And I pray about it. Now what am I doing? I'm looking for it. 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 And then something will stand out to me about seeking Him. And that's what I preach today. You see what I'm saying? About seeking. And then the more I look at it, the more it confirms what I'm seeing. Well, I'm a preacher. That's my job. But whatever it is you're doing, He will help you the same way in your profession, in your area. He will help you rebuild a transmission. Huh? Save you having to redo it twice. I'm telling you. He'll show you before you ever start taking the thing out of the car. He'll show you. He could show you. It's not it. The transmission is not the problem. It's this. Man, you just saved yourself 2 days. And can you see what I'm talking about? And whether you're with a... I know during the pandemic we were doing a driveway at the house And you know, everybody was saying, you know, what is it, supply chain. They said, oh man, it's going to be months and months. You know, you won't be able to get all that stuff. Well, our guys know. They know how to pray. And our guy was Dan, right? It was you. He said, Dan said, well, we'll just pray. We'll pray. Well, they called back in, a week or two? And say, you know, you'll have those. It's no problem. And then the guy said, hey, how about could you pray with us? About some of these? Because they weren't able to get stuff. Praying. Somebody say praying.
Praying.
It's not just a religious thing.
No.
It's not just something you do when you get in real bad trouble. Huh? Pray without ceasing. Every day, pray. Pray every day. Stand on your feet, everybody.